This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Tuesday, August 27, 2024, the Memorial of St. Monica, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The first reading today from the book of Sirach. We read the first four verses, and then from 13 to 16, the virtuous wife. It is good. If you're going to talk about a virtuous wife, those are the verses you need to pay attention to. That's only if you want to think about a virtuous wife. The virtuous wife is a blessing to her husband, as it says. It says, very poetically, that the number of his days will be doubled. Does that mean he's going to have twice as long to live? No, it does not. It means that the day he does live, he will be very happy. He'll be twice as happy with the days that he has. That she is a great blessing. That whether he is rich or poor, if he has a good wife, his heart will be glad no matter what his situation is. This is the blessing of a virtuous wife. Virtue does not come naturally to us. This is why I will point out that those verses from verse 5 to verse 12, seven verses, speak of various types of women who have not learned virtue. Interesting that there's a whole lot more virtues. And it's not a matter of, there's a good one, and these are the blessings, and these are the bad ones. You want to stay away from them. It should be taken as we need to overcome these things that would hinder us being virtuous. And no matter what our vocation may be, but in this particular context, it's a wife. Types of women that characteristics don't make a particularly good wife. Gossipy, jealous, immoral, drunken, immodest, prideful, imprudent. They're like, oh man, those are pretty, those are what we are by our human nature. So we have to try to overcome those kind of things. This is why you don't skip around and just talk about the virtues, because it's like, how do you arrive at the virtues? There is something to be overcome to be embracing these virtues and manifesting them. Because another thing is, I was this and now I'm virtuous. It doesn't work like that. We work toward virtue, but all of a sudden, our human nature has this tendency to come up. You can be very virtuous for an extended period of time, and all of a sudden something happens that kind of pushes you over the edge. You fall into old stuff. You don't pay attention. You're being presumptuous on your virtues and things like that. And all of a sudden, one or maybe a couple or a few of those things rear their ugly head. All of a sudden, virtuous wife, not necessarily a virtuous wife. Time goes on. We have to be very, very careful about continuing to embrace our virtues. This is manifest in St. Monica's life. St. Monica, everybody knows. You come St. Monica, she cried for her son for years and years and years. Ain't she great? That wasn't her whole entire life. You read spiritual readings like Butler's Lives of the Saints, you know, these saints of the day, the martyrology, and it fleshes out a little bit more of the things we just hear. Like I said, you read the breviary and things like that. It emphasizes her caring for it. Some of them will go so far to talk about her caring for her husband. But St. Monica it's not just her tears that she said, she is the ideal of forbearance. This is what Butler's Life is like. She is the ideal of forbearance. Forbearance for what? Forbearance for Augustine. Everybody knows that one. Forbearance for her husband. Yeah, you know, that's a story that some people know. Forbearance for her mother-in-law. Most people don't think about that. And forbearance for herself. if you understand and you get delve into her life and how she had to work toward virtue and how she had to struggle against things that hindered virtue, like you said, nobody starts that way. You've got to be taught. You got to be taught. Say Monica, when she's very, very young, parents Christians, they want her raised up in the faith. So they sent her to what we consider, it was not school so much. But basically, back in the day, they would live with someone for, you know, years, and they would learn things of the faith. I don't mean to live with them constantly. They just spent a lot of time with them. They'd been taught virtues and things like that. It's sort of like a mini kind of convent thing without the vows. And where she was, it was very strict, very strict. And one of the regulations was that you do not drink anything between meals, anything. And the reason for that was that regulation was in place, and it was explained to them that that regulation is in place. So you get into the habit of not being excessive. You don't walk around, oh, I'm a little thirsty. I'll get some water. Or if I'm not even thirsty, I'll get some water. No. Self-consciously think about drink enough water at this meal, then drink some water next. We appreciate that water. And the underlying rationale was, right now it's water. As you are young girls, it's water. But when you get older, and remember, you know, the woman's lot, and there was keeping the homes, and a lot of there was always wine kept. If you're not careful with how you moderate yourself now with water, when you get older and there's access to wine in the house, you may, if you're not disciplined, fall into this whole thing of nipping a little bit. And it's okay. And you think, well, that's ridiculous. That's hypothetical. St. Monica gets older. She starts working at a house. There's a wine cellar in there. She starts, it gets hot during the day and things like that. She's down in the wine cellar, little sip of wine. While she's getting it, little sip of wine. Little sip. Then it went to a whole cup of wine. And then it went to where it was kind of noticeable to her fellow servants. And she got no argument when she had been imbibing. And she got into an argument with one of the other servants. And he basically, it came down to the, and he was like, well, I'm going to listen to you because you're a drunk. And she was like, oh, she knew what she heard was true. Now, if you're not virtuous, you hear that, you go, don't you call me a drunk. But after you've just been drinking the wine, you, okay, to the point where you're getting in an argument with your fellow workers and things like that, and you get called on it, it drove it home to her. It drove it home to her, and she never again, at all, never. But she remembers. I learned that. I thought it was ridiculous at the time, but now, look. Exactly what he said it happened to be. Now, it's going to happen to everybody, no, but it taught her a lesson. The Holy Spirit taught her a lesson in order that she become Saint Monica. Okay, so this is what I talk about, forbearance with herself. She got caught in something, and then all of a sudden, there's a temptation that you got to fight against, because wouldn't it have been a lot easier for her when her son's going off the rails and her husband's not what he should be to go and, whatever, I'm just going to go and have a couple glasses of wine. It'll make it all better. No, it doesn't make it all better. She learns this. So it's forbearance with herself. Like you talk about her husband, and you think about it. Patricius was this guy's name. He's a pagan. When she married him, she knew he was a pagan. He was well-to-do. And he, as some of the histories say, he was not without good qualities. But he was a pagan. He was very ill-tempered. He had a very violent temper. And he was, let us say, serially unfaithful to his marriage vows. So she puts up with this all the time. She just prays for him. She prays. And, you know, she's a virtuous woman. Forbearance, for better or worse. You know, I said that before God. Okay, here it is. Well, during this time, ill-tempered and violent as he was, he never laid a hand on her. Never raised a hand to Monica. But women get together, and back in the day particularly, you know, doing this, doing that, and everything like that, and other wives would complain about their husbands. They treated me bad. They yelled at me. They did this. And a couple of them would actually, see, he hit me and all this kind of stuff. And Monica, gotta love her practicality, she looked at her and goes, well, you sit around here and you badmouth them, so I'll quote from her, you very often brought the treatment upon yourselves by your tongues. There are both sides of the fence there, ill treatment of women, but also there is a role thing going on here. So St. Monica, she throws the practicality out on them. You'll probably avoid a lot of that stuff if you, because you're demonstrating to yourself that you're gossips. You sit around here, you gossip, you talk about your house business out in front of everybody else. You badmouth your husband, imprudent, that's immoral. It's all that stuff going on. So this is the practicality of St. Monica that we don't really get all that often to think about that. So, you know, when you look at her, she shed tears for years for St. Augustine. Again, everybody knows that part of it. Yeah, she also didn't let him in her house and would not eat with him for an extended period of time because she said she didn't want to listen to his blasphemies when he was in a hard case Manichaean kind of realm. He'd always wanted to badmouth the Catholic faith. So, no, Augustine, you're not coming in the house. I won't even eat with you. During that time, she had a vision. She had a dream. Not a vision, so she had a dream. And she appeared. Her and St. Augustine were on this very narrow beam. And basically, he was kind of distant from her. And she was weeping in her dream. And what is described as an angel, no less, comes to her and she, dry your tears. He is with you. Well, she actually shared that dream with Augustine after trying to get him to, you know, I had a dream about you. And she's, and he made fun of the dream. And she goes, she didn't, because he's like, you know, if you'd start being more like me, we'd get along. And she said, notice the angel didn't say that I was with you. He said, you were with me. I'm not changing anything. You need to change. Kind of fell short right then. But then time moves on. He's converted. We know the story. He's converted. Patricius is converted, her husband, and her mother-in-law. And Patricius was what he was because the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. His mom was the same exact way. She was a trying mother-in-law, and she lived in the house with them. And she converted also. This is what can happen if you play up on your virtues. But again, it's not just this fanciful picture of St. Monica bawling all the time because her son's wayward. She put her nose to the grindstone and helped with things. She followed him around. She didn't let him do certain things. She wouldn't eat with him for a little while, making her point practically speaking. This is what we have to understand. Because we can shed a lot of tears for that, but this whole, it's kind of interesting. In her vision, the angel tells her to dry her tears. And then we have the gospel today. We have this widow coming out. It's her only son. The only thing she has left in this world. Her life is in danger now because she doesn't have a son. That would make you weep. That'd make anybody weep hard. And what does our Lord say when he sees her? Weep not. Now, does he mean, when he says that very simple statement, weep not, does he mean it's not right to weep? You shouldn't be crying. Oh, that. It's stop weeping. Stop weeping because I'm going to do something for you that you will no longer weep. Weeping's not bad because when Lazarus, our Lord raised Lazarus from the dead, shortest verse of the Bible, Jesus wept. So weeping's not wrong in its place and for a time. It's when we, you know, give over to this worldly grief of a person with no hope. This is why we weep not. You know, even if we lose a loved one, there's the loss, weep for it. It'll go on and on and on and on. I know some folks that unfortunately, and there's certainly they do. They say, that's somebody with no hope. You weep for your loss, and it's not that you don't weep occasionally for things like that, but we have to approach saying that he does all things well. He does all things well. There's going to be a resurrection one way or another, and we know that up there are no more tears. So we need to start looking at things like that. When our Lord said, weep not. So, you know, look at St. Monica. She is exemplary. She's an exemplary wife. She's an exemplary mother. And she was rewarded for being exemplary. But she wasn't born exemplary. None of us are. We have to work toward virtues. So if you want, you need to be an example. Well, I'm not a laborer. This goes for any vocation in your life, any vocation. If you're called to the single life, the celibate life, you should be exemplary in that. If you're a husband, you should be exemplary in that. If you're a wife, you know, as you grow up, as you are a child, you should be exemplary in doing that. This is what our Lord said. We foster these virtues. And if we foster them, we'll be an example and we will be rewarded. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost.